Okay, let's get started. Let's go to prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come to your home. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you continually pour out upon us. We just ask that your spirit would be with us today and that your word would fill our hearts and your spirit would work on changing and transforming our lives. I just pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to kind of review some of the things that we've gone over and maybe one of the things that I missed. Stick it in there. But the progression of worship thus far has gone from Adam, who failed the covenant of works, and our gracious God, instead of ending human life, his mercy and grace was poured out on Adam and Eve, and thus the sacrificial system started. We begin with a new covenant of grace because Adam had brought idolatry into the world. His role of prophet, priest, and king had failed. God had placed Adam in the garden temple. As prophet, he was to speak God's word to God's world. As priest, he was to guard God's sanctuary and mediate God's blessing to God's world. As king, he was to rule God's world. Above these roles as prophet, priest, and king, he was called to worship God through his word. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." We talked about the sacrificial system getting started, became a new element in the covenant call, in the covenant itself, the call, the sacrifice, the response, and the meal. Adam failed to know God and enjoy him forever. Thus, God was dethroned from man's heart and was exchanged for worship of the creature. We must now wait for that permanent arrangement that had been promised through the seed of the woman in Genesis 3. This new satisfactory arrangement worked through Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all responded to God's call in faith and obedience and accepted the centrality of sacrifice for the temporary atonement for sin. If you wanted somebody to turn to Genesis 12:1-3, maybe read that for us.
Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Thank you. Abram was asked to give up his country, his family, and leave his father's house to become a great nation. He also got a glimpse of the understanding of the last sacrifice. When he was to sacrifice his son, the Lord provided the lamb. At this point, it seems that there's a shift from the individual to a family. And that aspect, as we look ahead to Egypt and the Lord's call to bring Israel out of slavery to a new land, God called Moses. His response was to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let God's son go. Exodus 4:22-23. The part about Abram and switching to a family, we will soon go to a national typical covenant with Israel. And Israel was responding to follow God's commands and was placed blood from a sacrificed lamb to avoid the angel of death that would come to the firstborn. As they departed through the Red Sea, there was a mist that pointed to a future type of baptism that the church would have as one of its sacraments. We talked last week about Sinai worship, the structure, and how prophetic priestly intercession was introduced into Exodus 20, 18, and 19. I'll just go ahead and read that. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." That was the main point that was introduced into the structure of worship at Sinai, was the intercession. And now let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, and the structure of the last covenant that we're going to look at is on Mount Zion and Solomon. And we've gone in another progression. Adam was prophet, priest, and king. At Sinai, that we added the prophet and the priest. And here with Solomon, we're going to have the royal king. That progression seems to me is continual, and the next one will be prophet, priest, and king when Christ comes. So let's look at chapter 5 in 2 Chronicles, verse 2. And would somebody like to read down to 14 or 15, and then somebody else read? Because we're going to go through chapter 5, 6, and part of 7.
Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all heads of the tribes, the leaders of the fathers' houses of the people of Israel in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which he fired. But all the men of Israel assembled before the king at the feast that is in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the Ark. They brought up the ark, the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent, and brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, who had assembled before him, were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and oxen. Then the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place, in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubim made their covering above the ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the intersection, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets that Moses put there at the ark, and the priests came to the holy place where all the priests who were present had consecrated themselves without regard to their divisions. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Uzzah, and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. And it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised, with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments, in praise to the Lord.
For he is good, and for his steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So we have the gathering, and we have the cleansing sacrifice before and after the word. On the handout that I have on the back pages, it kind of gives a little blurb about what each part was. It was to counter sin. The cleaning and sacrifice before and after the word countered the stain of sin. Mediation access countered the restricted access after Eden, seen as the flaming swords to the east gate, and also the angelic figures engraved in the curtain at the entrance into the Holy of Holies in both the tabernacle and the temple. Somebody like to read maybe the first part down through 10 on chapter 6.
Now Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness, but I have built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hand has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to David my father, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there, and I chose no man as prince over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to David my father, whereas it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, it is not you who shall build the house, but your son who shall be born to you shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his promise that he made. For I have risen in the place of David my father and sit enthroned on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have set the ark, which is the covenant of the Lord that he made people of Israel.
Somebody like to continue with 12 through 18.
Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the court, and he stood on it. Then he knelt on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenants and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth, and with your hand have fulfilled it this day. Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk in my laws as you have walked before me. Now, therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David. But will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built.
You have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea. O Lord, my God, listening to the cry and to the prayers that your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open day and night towards this house, the place where you have promised to set your name, that you may listen to the prayers that your servants offer towards this place. And listen to the pleas of your servant and to your people Israel. When they pray towards this place, and listen from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath and comes and swears his oath before your altar in this house, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servant, repaying the guilty by bringing him his conduct on his own head, and vindicate the righteous by rewarding according to his righteousness. If your people Israel are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and they turn against and acknowledge your name and pray and plead with you in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of the people Israel and bring them again to the land that you have gave to them and to their fathers. Somebody else like to read down to through 32?
When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place and acknowledge your name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Then you teach them the good way in which they should walk and grant rain upon your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the land at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow and stretching out his hands towards this house, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and render to each whose heart you know according to all his ways. For you, you only know the hearts of the children of mankind, that they may fear you and walk in your ways all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers.
Likewise, when foreigners, who is not of your people Israel, comes from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays towards this house, hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the people of the earth may know your name and fear you. As do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house and I have built is called by your name. If your people go out to battle against their enemies, by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to you towards this city that you have chosen, and that the house that I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and plead and maintain their cause. If they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so that they are carried away captive to a land far or near. Yet if they turn their hearts in the land to which they have been carried captive, and repent and plead with you in the land that they are in captivity, saying, we have sinned and have acted previously and wickedly. If they repent with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity to which they were carried captive, and pray towards their land, which you have given to their fathers, the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their plea, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, O my God, let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers of this place. Somebody like to finish out?
And now lies over God. And go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember your steadfast love for David, your servant.
And then I'll read down through 10. As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground and on pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of the Lord. The priests stood at their posts, the Levites also, with their instruments of music to the Lord that King David had made for giving thanks to the Lord. For his steadfast love endures forever. Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, opposite them the priest sounded trumpets, and all Israel stood. This is a long section. It's the last of the structural changes. What now? We've gone through the three peaks that Gibson calls the mountains of the Eden, Sinai, and Zion. He's broken down, and I've on the handout on the back page, it has parts that were new to the covenant or countered sin. I've also on the front page of that, there's the breakdown of where the gathering, the cleansing and the sacrifice, and it tells us exactly which verses are there. I think I've got part of this mixed up with the with my wife's stuff. I grabbed the wrong Bible, and not everything is here. But we've gone through Second Chronicles, and the gathering counters the scattering of Eden. Kind of gone over that. The cleansing before and after the word counters the stain of sin. Mediated access counters the restriction that was given by the Lord at Eden. The curtain has angels embroidered on the curtain, which restricts our access. Divine communication counters the alternative call of idolatry, and then cleansing and consecration counters Israel's desertion of God that occurred through unbelief and disobedience. These elements remain essential parts of restored worship in the covenants of grace in the Old Testament. This was a temporary fix, and now we would have to wait until the perfect worshiper fulfills all the covenants and all the covenant promises. The expectation is met when God's final son, the last days, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the true Israel, the son of David. As God's son, he fulfills and perfects the prophet, priest, and king aspect. Christ's birth was at Christ's birth. He was adopted by Joseph so that he fell into the heir in the royal line, becoming the son of David. But confirmation would come at his baptism. in Matthew chapter 3, 16 through 17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Now the Lord's ministry would start where Israel was tested and where Adam had ended, in the wilderness, where Satan would tempt him after 40 days and nights of fasting. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Somebody would like to give my voice a break.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
Finally, we have the perfect prophet, priest, and king. God had tested Christ to see if he would worship him alone as Father and King. He did not bow to the creature and was victorious over Satan's temptation. The perfect worship had come and exhibited exactly what God had wanted all along. To glorify and love him with all his heart and with all his strength, and to obey him. But God's people could not have access to the Holy of Holies until that perfect worshiper passed through the flaming swords at the east end of Eden. The once for all royal, sufficient sacrifice for sin was needed. Jesus Christ was that and more. We have our high priest, now who sits at the right hand of God and satisfies God's judgment. And in his resurrection, he leads us back to the center of the garden, to the tree of life in God's presence. With Christ's dying breath, the temple curtain in the Holy of Holies was torn in half, signifying the end of the old way of worship. Thus, we start a new way of worship in the Holies of Holies. The point of all this is captured by the author in Hebrews. Somebody would like to read chapter 8, verses 1 and 2.
Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne, majesty of heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up. Now,
with our Lord and Savior seated at the right hand of God as mediator and redeemer, our high priest leads the worship in heaven and purifies the worship of his church on earth. Hebrews 10:19 through 23. Therefore, brethren, Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Also in Hebrews, if somebody would like to read from chapter 12, 18 through 24, and then somebody else read 28 and 29.
For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, God's people with a pure heart, a clean conscience, we are able to worship him acceptably. We are now able to hear his call to worship without being terrified by his voice, being able to assemble around the heavenly Mount Zion without the fear of being consumed by the blazing fire of his presence. For as John Newton penned, Christ has hushed the law, loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Zion's flame. He has washed us with his blood. He has brought us nigh to God. But now, if Thomas still wants me to speak on this, I'd like to speak on worship in concert with the Great Commission the next time that we meet. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we heard of your son's sacrifice. He gave up everything. He was with you in the beginning. He helped create the world. He had all the power that it would ever be needed, and yet he stepped down and humbly became man. And what else is amazing but the gift of him sacrificing his own life for us freely, unhindered, by his own choice, for a people like us, who through the walk of the redemptive covenant history, we have failed at every turn. Sometimes in a very short time. But Father, all the figures that are in the Bible are men that have come from a fallen world. And you still love us. Your love is steadfast. It endures. We fail, and yet you pick us up. Father, we just thank you for your gifts and your mercy. May you open all of our hearts so that we might feel your presence more and more each day. In Christ's name, amen.